Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with running shoes from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be joined by former Fin Harps captain Joe Boyle to look ahead to the games for Fin Harps and Derry City, who are on the road this coming Friday at Treaty United and Waterford FC respectively. Dylan Brown-McMonagall has been on form since his return from injury. We'll hear all about his ambitions for 2026. And Donegal rally driver Kyle McBride is off to Sweden to start his European Rally Championship campaign. We'll be speaking to the Any Shown Man as well. But up first on the football front, we're going to reflect back on yesterday's tremendous win by Loretto Milford as they were crowned FAI Schools Minor Boys Under 15 National Cup champions. They defeated Middleton CBS of Cork by 2-1 in the final played in Athlone. Hugo Cooper and Dara Edwards got the goals there as Loretto Milford took their first title in 50 years. I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the programme this evening by Loretto's joint managers, Gary Doherty and Efren McFadden. Gentlemen, you're welcome along. How are you doing?
How are you, Oisin?
Bad, Oisin. How's it going?
We're great.
Well, tell us, what's the buzz been like around the school today?
Ah, it's fantastic. Hey, everybody's just floating around the place. Everybody's buzzing from yesterday. Every year group, you know, not just the 2 year groups involved, but absolutely everybody, staff, teachers, students, everybody in the whole places. So excited and full of joy for the whole thing.
And listen, Efren, national titles don't come round too often for Loretto Milford. It was 50 years, so there was a bit of a long wait there, so there was.
They put in a bit of a wait for this one, all right, Di, but look, it's marvellous now, 50 years ago since the first one now, and it's just brilliant to get this for the boys, would I say.
Yeah, and listen, it's huge for the school and huge for the community and huge for the group. But you might maybe talk us through the game yesterday, Gary. You went 2-0 up, but were you under a bit of pressure after that because Middleton had a goal disallowed and you were able to hang in there to the end?
I thought we were on top for a lot of the game. Like, the boys did play very well yesterday. It was one of their best performances throughout the whole year. We could have went one each. They had a goal disallowed, but look, the linesman ruled it offside, and he had a better view than us, so we just went with that. Went 2-0 up then, they got a man sent off, and we thought we were home and dry. We thought we were comfortable at that stage, but their right back, wasn't it?
Their left back.
Scored a cracking goal towards the end and just made it a very nervy finish for us all. Hey, but thankfully the boys dug in and got us over the line, you know.
Yeah, and the guys that got the goals yesterday, Hugh Cooper and Dara Edwards, were the guys that scored for you?
Yeah, Hugo Cooper and Dara Edwards, yeah, our striker and centre mid.
Yeah, tell us about the goals.
First one was lovely, team effort really. Started with Connor Patton down the left and he threaded it through to Jimmy O'Donnell, who squared a class ball across and Hugo finished it lovely. And then the second one came from Hugo's through and goal and last man really made the foul there, so the last man got sent off and Dara stepped up then and great strike from a free kick into the bottom corner of the net, left the keeper no chance. So two fantastic goals. They're still up on the FAA website there. They're unbelievable finishes from the two lads.
Yeah, and listen, young Dara Edwards, it's been a big couple of days for him. He won a national title there with his club Elistron. Himself and Caden Starrett were involved yesterday, so they were from the Elistron club.
The two of them were involved. Dara's just been a rocking centre midfield for us all year. So I don't think he's put a foot wrong all year for us, to be honest with you. He's an exceptional player to us. And then Caden, we asked a job off Caden yesterday and he performed as well. So, couldn't be happier with the two boys now.
Yeah. What's the spread of clubs like that's involved in the team there, Efren? Because obviously there's two from Elistron, but there's other clubs around in the area as well. What's the spread like?
I suppose we have Mulroy, we have Kilmacrenan,
Swally, Fannad,
yeah, there's a few boys up at Harps, we have one boy in Derry City, so there's a big catchment there, like, so there's a lot of clubs involved, you know, kind of getting all them players together from such a wide variety of clubs and getting them to gel so well together was a brilliant to see.
Yeah. And like credit has to be given to the clubs and coaches out there. Like we only see them here in second year, like second and third year, but those lads have been developed throughout their whole time. So a lot of credit has to go to them.
Yeah. And listen, a lot of credit has to go to other people as well, away from the playing group, the management, and there's a lot of support there too from other quarters. So there is, Gary.
Oh, there is surely. Like the whole community have joined together there. Like the homecoming last night was unbelievable. They all came in and, Fire Brigade was out. The Gardaí was out. We had a lot of lovely messages from community groups in Milford. So it's brilliant to see everybody getting involved, you know, and getting behind the team. We're so happy for the whole area, you know. Like chat about getting men involved. There was, the team from 50 years ago just popped in last Friday to see us and, give the lads a talk, told them what they remembered and how it kept them together over the 50 years. Like, and there's even another, I suppose, another connection that player you're chatting about there, Darragh Edwards, his uncle, Colm Kelly, scored in that final back 50 years ago. And he scored yesterday. So it's a lovely link between the two. And another man, Jack Barrett on the team, he has relations with Colm McLaughlin and Liam McLaughlin on the team. So a lot of family connections there through the years. And those men come down to watch us yesterday. They came in last week. So we channeled all that. And it's just great to see. Like,
and listen, from the school point of view as well, there's a huge effort there, Gary.
It is, yeah. Look, a lot of people are chatting about myself and Ephraim here and our assistant team and TY in fifth year. But look, across the board in the school, it takes a lot of people to make this happen. Like, just want to mention a few in particular, if that's all right. Edward Freel there in the caretaking team, who kept us right with the kit and equipment all year. We had 400 students going down the road yesterday. So there was a lot of staff that organized that for us. And I want to thank also the buses there from Boyce's and Shields bus companies. Fantastic job getting everybody up and down the road safely yesterday. And just to say too about the homecoming, like it was amazing. We had Grania McDade, Karen Sweeney, Shauna Giles and Keith Harmon, who organized an amazing reception for us here back at the school. And there was a bit of music too from Alex Cullen and Zach Ferry, which just led the whole atmosphere. It was brilliant. Hey, class, we'll never forget it.
And the players will never forget this experience. It will stick with them for the rest of their lives that they won an All-Ireland title at 14 and 15 years of age. Going forward now, next year, is there money if that group still at that underage level, Gary?
There's not too many at the under 15 level. So we've only got two of those players still at under 15. But we have, again, look, the school's going strong, like with a lot of people there that'll be able to fit into the under 17 side. So our boys coming through will be the younger members of that, but there's a lot of strong lads still underage at 17 level. So look, it's across the board, all the senior team's a good, strong team. We'll have a good first year team moving into 15. So we're in good shape at the minute, which, we're looking forward to next year as well.
And Ephraim, as we said at the start, all the players and all the teams now around the school will be getting a huge lift of this, so they will.
Oh, definitely will. It definitely will. It'll be a big achievement for the boys, as we say, but it'll be good for other teams now progressing through to look forward to something like that. And hopefully, you know, like I said before, we don't have to wait another 50 years for another one.
Yeah, hopefully you'll not have to wait as long again. Listen, once again, Gary and Ephraim, many congratulations to you and to the players and to everybody on the school on that brilliant, brilliant National Cup success yesterday. And continue to enjoy the celebrations. They're fully deserved.
Thank you. That's good thing. Cheers.
No doubt there will be more celebrations in the corridors of the Reddo over the next couple of days, and fully deserving as well. Let's now move into the realm of League of Ireland football. In the First Division on Friday night, Fanharps are on the road as they go to Treaty United, while in the Premier Division, Derry City are off to Waterford. We'll be looking forward to those games and more now in our League of Ireland preview. And joining us is former Fanharps captain and principal of Deal College, who were All-Ireland winners last year. That's Mr. Joe Boyle. Joe, how you doing? Welcome back to the programme.
Thank you very much, Oisín, and I just want to wish all the lads and the players and the coaches down in Milford, you know, a huge congratulations on winning the All-Ireland yesterday. It's a huge, huge achievement for them. We were very fortunate to be in that position last year where our students here managed to do the same. And, you know, it takes a really, really special group of players to win their way through Ulster first, but then to get to navigate their way through an All-Ireland semi-final and then a final. You know, it's a huge, huge achievement. And for those players who managed to get it across the line yesterday, I just want to say well done. And to all the coaches, it's a great day, and hopefully they're enjoying their celebrations this evening.
Yeah, they've done a mighty job, so they did down at Milford. And obviously, you guys at Deal done that last year. But around the school, Joe, it means so much. The whole school gets a big lift off it, so it does.
Yeah, and so does all the clubs in the community as well that provides the players to the school. And, you know, winning's a habit, and no matter what sport you're in, and, you know, at that age, if they get that winning feeling, generally it carries through with them for the rest of their career. And, you know, it's a great lift. It really does lift the spirits of everybody as we head towards the end of the school year and from a footballing point of view into loads of matches over the summer. So, you know, it's great for the school, great for the community, and great for all the clubs that provide all the players to the schools as well.
Okay, let's move into the League of Ireland and Fin Harps. Harps heading to Limerick to play Tralee tomorrow night, Friday, down at Markets Field. It kicks off at 7:45. We'll have updates from this crucial game with Michael Cook tomorrow evening. Tralee currently bottom of the table on 12 points, sharing bottom place with Kerry, and then Harps in 8th, third from bottom on 17. But Joe, Harps are going into this game having had two wins on the bounce, and listen, they were good the last day when they took that victory, of course, against Kerry in another crucial encounter. But Harps are not in a bad place going into this tie tomorrow.
No, look, Kevin had been disappointed there. He had a couple of defeats in a row, a couple of really positive draws. I think it was around the last time I was speaking to you with Cork and with Bray when they were top of the table. And then, unfortunately, things just didn't go to plan for the next couple of weeks. But those two wins in the last couple of weeks are very, very important. You know, it gives them 6 points, but also gives them a great belief. You know, that defeat that they give to Bray was a big one, and coming through last week against Kerry and getting across the line is another positive result for them. And, you know, going down to Limerick this weekend could bring them into a good place. The only concern you would have is in their away form. Like, they've only won once on the road, and all these trips to Munster is very, very taxing. But, you know, going to Tralee this week, if they can get something, that can push them right up the table. And, you know, you can string another two victories in the next week, or three even up until the break. That could push them right up the table and put them in a really strong position as they head into the break in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, I'm actually just looking at the bottom of the table here. Harps obviously playing Tralee, and then they've got Longford to come next weekend at home. Longford this weekend play Cork. So if Cork were to take the one that you would expect them to do, if Harps can win in Tralee and then next week take a one against Longford Town, all of a sudden there's a bit of daylight between Harps and those bottom two and bottom three places. So there is. Is that too much to ask off them, is it, Joe?
No, it's not. When you look there, UCD is the only club that has a run of greens in the last five matches. You know, they had four wins, but then they got defeated last week. You know, Cork a couple of weeks ago had the League One, and it was just a matter of finishing out the season. And that gap has closed up as well. So, you know, from third down to Harps in eighth, any one of those teams can win in any given week, and I think that's what's so important about this league. If you compare it almost to the Championship in England, on any given week you could win, but in any given week you could also end up getting beat. And, you know, that's the competitive nature that they have there. But, you know, Kevin and the lads will be going down there, two really good performances, two good results. So, you know, they're going down to Limerick now hoping that they can build on that and then go into the Longford match. You know, that could be four victories in a row that he'd be looking for. And before the end of the break, then your last game before the break is Cork City away. So if you could definitely get two victories out of those three matches, it would put you in a really good healthy position now going into the break, because after the break you come back in June then with a home tie to UCD, and you know, that would give them a couple of weeks to prepare for that after the Cork game.
Yeah, a couple of players named on the team of the week this week as well: Gavin McAteer, Max Hutchinson, and Corey Sheridan, all rightly so included in the 11, because they played well against Kerry the last day. When you add in the performance of the likes of Josh Cullen the game before that against Cork, these types of players are starting to step up to the plate now, so they are for Kevin McHugh.
Yeah, and look at those young lads are getting experience and they're now running into, like, some of those lads will be heading into 40, 50 matches at 18 years of age. No, that's a good bank of experience to have at that stage. They're finding themselves in those matches now that they're comfortable in those games. And the other one that'll stand to those younger players and more skillful players is as the pitches get better now and they're not as heavy as they were at the start of the season, those players will start to flourish now because they'll be able to get the ball down and play. And, for exactly for Corey coming back in now, it's a huge boost to himself and to the team as well, where he has been doing really, really well. So look, it's important that they keep building. And, one of the things that I've been looking at over the last couple of weeks, Hearts have been in and around the box a lot more than they have in previous matches. They've got a couple of penalties. Joel stuck one away. He missed one. He scored another one. So from that point of view, that's a positive as well, because that tells you when you're in around the penalty box, winning penalties, then you're putting other teams under pressure. So again, for Hearts, it'll be a huge positive again going into this weekend if they can get that attacking threat going. And, those players in and around the team of the week is very, very important because that tells you that, and it gives your players confidence because when they look around the dressing, they've got one or two players in that team every week or different fellas going in. That's a really fill up for Kevin and the boys every week.
Yeah, so Fan Harps on the road at Treaty, 7:45 Friday evening. Once again, we'll have updates from that game here in Highland with Michael Cook tomorrow night. As for the rest of the game, second place UCD are hosting Bray Wanderers. Kerry will face Wexford, and Athlone Town have a trip to Cove to take on the Ramblers boys. And then on Saturday, Cork City are heading to Longford Town. The fixtures this week in the Premier Division. Again, there's four on Friday night. Bohemians take on Drogheda United. St Patrick's Athletic, who are second, are hosting Shelburne, who sits seventh. Waterford are taking on Derry City. Dundalk are taking on the leaders and defending champions Shamrock Rovers. And then on Saturday, Sligo Rovers are playing Galway United in a Connacht derby. We'll look forward to that game in just a few moments. But first up, Derry City, Joe, who are going to Waterford. They'll be looking for a bit of a bounce back following that defeat to Drogheda. It seemed to be that things may have been steadying, and then there was that blip last week again. They dominated things, but they couldn't score, and it was Drogheda that took the full 3 points. So is Waterford a good enough game now for Derry to look for a comeback from the last day out?
You would think so. Waterford are sitting with just 6 points and they haven't won a game yet. Now you're hoping that they don't get the bounce from the new manager, Neil Coughlin's come in to Waterford after John Daly leaving there. So you're hoping that Derry can build on that. The concerning thing for me again is just the lack of goals across the team in Derry. Now we're glad to see that Michael Duffy is back in, but from that point of view, there's not enough goals being scored and they're not getting the chances. Like Duffy's sitting on 5 goals. He's their top scorer and he is just, 2 of those are from penalties. So that's a real concern. And going into the game against Waterford, and like the game last week against Drogheda, to get beat 1-0, you need to be scoring. And you would always look at a Derry team capable of scoring goals. And that's their big Achilles heel this season. They've only won 4 of their 16 matches. They've lost more games than they've won at this stage in 7 draws. That's not good enough. And, they really are chasing second, third position here at the minute because they're a huge way behind Shamrock Rovers, not just on points, but in how they're playing and how they're going about it. And that consistency, again, is a big issue for Derry City as they go down to Waterford this weekend. And they've got to bounce back. They've got to get that fifth victory. They can't afford another loss.
And before the break as well, the two games to come after Waterford, they may both be at home, but they could prove difficult. St Pat's is one and Shelburne's the other.
Yeah, and again, they're playing in Celtic Park. It's another new surroundings for them. Those matches and that match against St Pat's, you definitely would want to be going into that with a victory down in Waterford. And then a positive result from the St Pat's would bring them into the Shelburne match in good flight. And again, that's another Friday-Monday match. So that's 2 tough matches. The only good thing is Derry are home in both of those matches, so they don't have the travelling after the long journey to Waterford. So that's a huge advantage for them. So they've really got to press home in these 3 matches where they're definitely looking for 7 points, if not the 9 points, out of these next 3 matches to try and make some inroads into the league and try and catch Dundalk. Like, I don't think many people have predicted that Dundalk at this stage would be 3 points ahead of Derry in the league table.
What do you make of the announcement recently by Derry, Joe, that they are on the search for a head of player recruitment? Now, Jernan Lynch told the Derry Journal this week that it's a hugely progressive move by the club. They're looking for somebody with experience in football recruitment, scouting, or player analysis. This is another move by Derry and the board. And obviously the big teams across the world do this. But now it's filtering into League of Ireland and filtering into the North West and Derry City. What's your thoughts on a head of player recruitment being appointed at the Brandywell?
Yeah, when you look around all the top Premier League teams or the Champions League teams or across Europe, this is the model that a lot of the coaches, you know, gone are the days when the likes of Alex Ferguson would have talked to the player, negotiated a contract and signed all the players that were coming in out of the club in conjunction with his brother. There's a system in every club now that has all this data that needs to be analysed in relation to player stats that are coming in, and Derry look to be going down that road. This is a very, very important role, because if you sign the wrong player, that player could cost you a lot of money and upset the balance of the team. And if you're looking to play a certain way and build a certain style of play, then these players must fit that model that is coming in. So again, that relationship between the first team manager or coach, as they're better known now, and the head of player recruitment. And you can see at Man United when it doesn't go right, or even at Liverpool this season when it doesn't go right, you know, it does have an adverse effect on the whole setup at the club. So it's an important role for Derry. I'm not sure who they're lining up. Is there somebody that they're going to bring in from the UK? If there's somebody locally that they're looking to do, or somebody within the League of Ireland that knows the league scene. But again, it is hugely, hugely important to get the right players into any club. And for Derry, you know, they've had a lot of players coming and going over the last couple of years, so there has to be question marks that around what has happened previously, and make sure that they do get it right into the future.
And obviously the relationship has to be good with the current manager there, the current head coach, Tiernan Lynch, who's taken a lot of flack on social media from Derry City supporters about their performance this year. Is this going to work for Derry going forward?
It has to work, you know, because if it doesn't work when they come to the next transfer window, I'm sure they're going to be looking for one or two players to come in. You know, Derry have a big squad there. There has been a huge turnover over the last couple of years. So for Tiernan Lynch, it needs to work, and he needs to make sure that whoever is coming in now does get the right balance and gets the right players. And, you know, James McLean seems to be the fellow who the finger has been pointed at a lot, because he's been playing in central midfield. You know, when you're recruiting James McLean, you would have always looked at him as an outside left. But the best player in Derry's team this last couple of seasons has been Michael Duffy, who's also played in that position. So, you know, trying to get the right pieces for the jigsaw to fit together, and to have a couple of people that can come into the squad that doesn't upset the balance or keeps the rhythm of the team flowing, is really, really important. And I think that's where Derry needs to look at. Who is their long-term players that they're going to build this current team round, whether that's Tiernan Lynch or somebody else? You know, you have mentioned the Derry fans are unhappy, and I think justifiably so, when they've only had 4 victories out of 16 games. That does put Tiernan and the squad under pressure. And I just seen Michael Duffy's interview after the Drogheda game the last day, and he was really, really disappointed that they got nothing out of the game. So going to Waterford this week is something that will be very, very important coming into the next 2 games, because there will be a lot of pressure. And particularly with Stephen Kenny coming back to the Brandywell with St. Pat's, and Shelburne coming as well. And we know the history that Derry has with Shelburne over the last couple of seasons, with those league winning matches or those end of season matches. These are a big, big 10 days now for Derry. And whoever's going to be appointed, I presume the player recruitment person needs to come in for the next window that'll be opening up in about 6 weeks' time. This person needs to hit the ground running, so they really do need to have an understanding of what the strengths are in the Derry squad and what players need to come in to make them better.
Yeah. I suppose one of the standout fixtures this week is that Connacht derby, Sligo Rovers against Galway. Galway currently 8th, Sligo in 9th. That's 3rd and 2nd from bottom, respectively. They're separated by a point, so the 3 points, whoever comes away with in this game, is going to be huge, so it is, on Saturday evening at the Showgrounds, Joe.
Massive. It's a huge game for John Russell and John Caulfield, you know, that they try and get a really positive result out of this. Both managers have been had a couple of good results over the last couple of weeks, and again, they need to build on that. And again, I think this is the strength of the League of Ireland, where, you know, Galway had a couple of really positive results and then they get a couple of negative ones, and Sligo have been the same. So that consistency is something that is hugely important for both teams. You know, you would have thought out of the last five games, John got two wins and then he got a loss and then two draws, as where John Caulfield is the other way, where he has three draws and two defeats bookended at each side of those draws. So again, it's really important that whoever comes out on top, that gives them just that little bit of filler, because you do not want to be stuck in that ninth place come the end of the season. You want to try and push up the table. And when you look at it above the table, people have said Drogheda has had a really good start. You know, Shelburne hasn't had the start that they had, and Derry is just sitting on 19 points. So from fifth down to ninth, there's only 3 points between them, and that just shows how tough and how tight the league table is at the minute in the Premier Division.
It does indeed. Listen, Joe, we're going to have to park it there. So we are. Many thanks for joining us on the Score programme tonight. And as always, enjoy the football at the weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, Archie.
Elsewhere, football-wise, this weekend, there's a couple of big finals taking place. Saturday, 4 o'clock in McGinn Park, down in Inishowen, Buncrana Hearts are taking on Coghill Celtic. That's the Donegal Signs Challenge Cup final. Then on Sunday, the Father O'Gara Cup final is at McGinn at 2. Coghill Youths are up against Mavill Celtic. On Sunday in the FAI Senior Cup, Fannage United have a big day. They're taking on Douglas Hall. That fixture is in Mungourney in County Cork, and it starts on Sunday at 12 noon as Fannage play in the top competition in the country. By the way, on Saturday Sport, we'll be hearing from Fannage manager Arthur Lynch to look ahead to that game. And we'll also be getting his thoughts on the Brian McCormick Sports Cup final, which has been played on Sunday as well. Ballyar is the venue. Letterkenny Rovers are up against Kilmacrenan Celtic, and there's a 4 o'clock start time. Arthur will also preview that game, and we will of course have updates from that tie on Sunday as well. That's the second game of a double header at the Diamond Park in Ballyar, because Cadger Rovers and Castlefin Celtic are meeting as well in the Division 1 promotion relegation playoff, and that one starts at 12:30. Okay, time for a commercial break here on The Score. When we come back, we've got horse racing and rallying.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score. Donegal jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall is back on Irish soil, looking to defend his champion jockey title this year. After suffering a back injury while racing in Hong Kong, Dylan only returned to action on the home front at the start of the month. Well, over the past week, he's had 9 wins and is set for another busy few days this weekend. I caught up with Dylan earlier this week on a rare day off, and he's been happy with how his form has been, having missed a few weeks of action at the start of the season. I'll tell you what, the last week hasn't been bad for you. You've had, what, 9 victories in about 6 days, if I'm right in saying so. The form's been good since you got back?
Things are going good. It was unfortunate that I missed the first few weeks of the season, but that's horse racing for you. You're going to have your ups and downs, and unfortunately I got a little injury and it set me back for a few weeks, but we're going good again. The horses are in top shape, so long may it continue now.
Yeah. Let's talk about that injury, because the back injury happened in Hong Kong. How was things going in Hong Kong up until that happened?
It was going great. I had 10 winners in Hong Kong. It's a very, very tough place to compete at. So to get 10 winners was very good, and definitely came out of it a better person and a better rider, I think. I've definitely learned plenty and made some contacts, which is good. Thankfully, I did end up riding the whole time of my stint in Hong Kong. I got a fall maybe 10 days before I was supposed to come home, but I was able to keep riding for a week or 10 days until that was finished. And then I got a scan done, which said I couldn't continue. So I had to call it a day then and get checked up and get fixed. But it was just one of those things. But I definitely enjoyed Hong Kong.
Yeah, it was a back injury. Was it an actual fracture in the back? Was it done?
Yeah, I fractured my T6. Right. So it was sore at the time. I didn't really know how serious it was. At first, I thought it might have been something to do with my ribs. But after a few days racing and stuff, I knew there wasn't something right. So I had to go and get checked, and unfortunately, I had a fracture done. So yeah, I had to call it a day then and get it fixed, because it's not something you need to be messing about, is the back. So thankfully, it's healed, and I've got no complaints. All is good. So we're fit and we're back at it again.
Were you concerned about it at the time, because a fracture in the back is a serious enough injury, Dylan?
Yeah, well, it's not the most ideal thing in the world, but it's something you just have to take care of and get it done properly and make sure it's 100% before you return. I was lucky, nothing really happened to me in the time space that I continued to ride while it already was done. But, you know, I could have easily had another fall and could have been a lot worse. So thankfully, I did get it checked and we found out what was wrong. And once you know, at least you can fix it then. But I've got no worries now. It's 100%, thank God.
Yeah, and you've certainly showed that over the last week to 10 days with the form that you've had at the start of the season. How big for you was that Chester Cup victory on Joseph's A Piece of Heaven last Friday?
Yeah, that was unreal. Chester's it's a great town. The racing is huge there. The festival, they draw in a lot of people and there's a really good buzz there. But the history behind the Chester Cup is going back a long, long time. So it was good to get that ticked off and to do it for Joseph as well was unreal.
Is that a horse you're going to be on a bit more regular this year, do you think? Or will it be out again at some stage soon?
I'd imagine he'll probably aim for Royal Ascot now, right, maybe in a few weeks' time. He's a horse that has plenty of ability but had a few problems through the last year or two. And Joseph done an unbelievable job of getting him back to his best. And he's definitely one, if he keeps on the right track, he's going to be one to look forward to. But there's some big days ahead for him, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you had a big day then on Sunday at Treble at Leopardstown when you can win a number of races like that. It's always a good day at the office, isn't it, though?
Exactly. You get one every day, it's great. But to get three was very good. And it was good to win one of the Derby trials as well. James J. Braddock was a good winner for Group 3 Colts. It's kind of a big race leaning towards the Epsom Derby in a few weeks' time. So he's an exciting horse and it was good to get him to win. He was one of the outsiders, so we didn't really expect him to win. We thought he'd run well, but he kind of exceeded our expectations, so that was good.
Yeah, you've mentioned two big events coming up, obviously Epsom and Ascot on the way very, very soon as well. What's your record been like, I suppose, around those festivals and what do you hope to get out of them now in the coming weeks and months, Dylan? Because obviously there's a couple of horses there that you'll be hoping that can get you back in the winner's enclosure.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Epsom Derby weekend and Royal Ascot and all, they're the kind of places you need to be. They're very, very competitive and they're tough places to win. If you can win one race there at all each year, it's unreal, and even to be riding in them is great. Joseph, I'm sure, will have a big team going to Royal Ascot as he does every year. But as everyone knows, everyone meets there, it's the creme de la creme, and it's very, very tough. So hopefully we'll have a few competitors and we can get another winner there. But we didn't have one last year, we had one the year before, yeah. So it'd be nice to get back in the winners' enclosures there.
Yeah, it certainly would. I suppose that they're obviously targets for you now in the coming weeks, but further down the line, defending the champion jockey title that you won in Ireland last year, is that top of the list to be ticked, is it again?
Well, I'm a long way behind at the minute on winners after missing the first few weeks, so I'm playing catch-up, but it's definitely something would be great to do again. You know, every season, everyone wants to do that. I was unfortunate to have a few weeks off, but thankfully the horses are going well and I've banged in plenty of winners since I started, and if it keeps continuing, hopefully we can aim towards something like that again. But there's lots can happen between now and then, so fingers crossed it's all smooth sailing.
Yeah, and the fact that you won it last year and obviously you continue to ride with Joseph, is there any more openings there for you? Because I know me and you talked before about trying to get more Group 1 victories under the belt for you. Is there more of that sort of on the horizon now, do you think, Dylan?
Well, you need the horses to be running and those races to be winning them, of course. And Group 1 horses aren't easy to come across. The likes of the horse that won at the weekend at Leopardstown, James J. Braddock, as I said, he's kind of one that could step up into that kind of level next and be very competitive. So there's plenty of babies as well that's coming through that we don't know much about that could be superstars. But it's an exciting time of the year that you just have to wait and see what they can do. And hopefully some of them can climb up the ladder and compete in those races. And the more Group 1s we can compete in, hopefully the more we can win. And that's what everyone wants to be doing.
Would you like to experience America again? You had that sensational one on a Willie Mullins horse last November. Is that a place you would like to go back to, Dylan, in 2026?
Yeah, the Breeders' Cup is it's at the very end of the season. Everyone meets there at the end, and the whole world goes to it, and it's one of the biggest meetings of the year. So hopefully we have a couple of horses that can compete there, but it's definitely an unbelievable spot, and that's where everyone wants to be at the end of the season for the last hurrah. But we'll look forward to that again, and I've had success there last year, so hopefully we can get some more. It won't be easy though.
Yeah, it won't be easy, but it'll be great to see you back there. Listen, you're in downtime today. You might give us an idea of what downtime is for an Irish champion jockey on a Wednesday midweek time.
Well, I've been racing the last 5 or 6 days in a row, so it's been fairly hectic since I've come back. I've got a day off today racing, but of course you've still got to go into work in the mornings and ride out your 5 or 6 lots and whatever's got to be done. But then from 1 o'clock on, we've a bit of chill time, go out for a bit of dinner and chill out. So I think I might go and see the Michael Jackson movie later on. It's supposed to be good. So something like that will be nice to take off.
Good man. And where are you racing then for the rest of the week, Dylan?
We're in Leprosound Friday. I think we're Navan Saturday and maybe Ness Sunday. So we're busy for the rest of the week. And we're in Roscommon as well on Monday. So there's plenty happening within the next few days. So hopefully we can keep the winners coming.
Yeah, good stuff. Hopefully there'll be a few more. Listen, Dylan, many thanks for talking to us. Enjoy the film. Enjoy Michael Jackson. And we'll catch up again soon. And the best of luck with that, with what lies ahead for you in the future. All right.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Ashin.
Good to catch up with Dylan. He's going to have another very busy year ahead. That is for sure. Now, if you're into Gaelic games, you can, of course, listen back to this week's DL Debate programme, which is available in the sports section of our website and indeed the playback section of our website. It's highlandradio.com. One of the features there was we were speaking to Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann. The hurlers are playing their last game of the campaign in the Christy Ring Cup. Meath is the opposition on Saturday at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. It starts at 1:30. Last week with that draw against Roscommon, it was, of course, enough for Donegal to secure their position at that level of hurling for another season. Among the other games this weekend, Carlisle's Donegal Miners are in action in the Football Championship. They're playing Monaghan. It's a quarter final. It's in Convoy, and that one is taking place early on Saturday afternoon. Now, in motorsport, Billy Coleman Award winner Kyle McBride is stepping up to the European Rally Championship in a Peugeot 208 Rally 4 this month. He's set to compete at the Royal Rally of Scandinavia the weekend after next, but in the coming days, he's set to do a national event in Sweden to prep for his ERC debut. The 22-year-old, who won the Junior British Rally Championship and Stellantis Cup last season, will contest 6 rounds of the European Rally Championship, along with a new co-driver, Liam Callan, a 25-year-old from Cavan. Earlier this week, I caught up with Kyle before he departed for Sweden.
Yeah, Oisín, thanks for having me on. It's great to be back on here, and everything's going good. Looking forward to the year ahead. It's going to be another busy year.
Yeah, it certainly is on the European stage. I think the last time I was speaking to you, or we were speaking to you here in Highland, was after you won the Billy Coleman Award. That was something that you were striving for over the last couple of years, and you eventually got that much coveted award. So you did. So what's it been like in the intervening period between lifting that award and now for you, Kyle?
Yeah, it's been amazing, Oisín. Look, we looked up to all the people who won this award in previous years, and when I was younger, and you know, I always said I always wanted to win it, and look, it took us a good few years to win it, but we never give in or give up, which was the main thing. So no, absolutely delighted to win it. It's been going. We're the 25th winner, so it's been going 25 years now, and yeah, it's a really prestigious award, and just delighted to win it. And yeah, that has really helped me now take my next step in the career. So we're heading to Europe now tomorrow, and start our junior ERC campaign this season. So yeah, just can't thank all the team behind the award and the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy and all my sponsors who's helped to get this program together. It's quite a big program, so it just takes a lot of people behind the scenes to help, and sponsors, and I can't thank everyone enough to who came together to pull it together, you know.
Well, part of winning that Billy Coleman Award, along with the prize from the Junior BRC Championship One and the Stellantis Cup Championship One, all contributed to what's going to happen next for you in your career. How big a jump up is it to go as far as European level, Kyle?
Yeah, exactly. All those prizes was amazing to win, and I needed them to go to this next step. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like the pace is of course going to be much faster. It's European level. And yeah, we're going out to all brand new events that I haven't competed on before. So it's going to take a little bit of learning. But yeah, we're up for the challenge. It's going to be interesting, and yeah, it's going to be a huge challenge. But I am looking forward to getting going, getting at it, and just can't wait. Can't wait to get back behind the wheel.
Before we look at the rounds or what the opening rounds are for you, you have a new man alongside you from Cavan, Liam Callaghan. So it'll take a bit of time for you two guys to gel together, because obviously you and Dara were together for a long time. And when there's a new partnership in the car, it can take time maybe to gel and get everything right, will it?
That's the main aim of the game, is to be gelled with the man beside you. And yeah, looking forward to working with Liam now. And yeah, we get on very good so far. So it's gonna be interesting. We're doing a small wee event this weekend, a wee national event in Sweden, just to get our bearings with each other. And yeah, just it'll be a bit of gelling. But look, it has to be done, and we're up for the challenge.
Obviously, you raced in gravel on the BRC. What's the Swedish gravel like compared to the stuff in the UK?
Yeah, it's going to be much faster. On average, the speed will be much higher. It's really, really fast, really smooth. So yeah, it'll take a little bit of just getting used to the speed and how smooth it is. Like some of the BRC events would be relatively rough, and wouldn't be as fast. But yeah, it's really fourth, fifth gear flat out jumps here in Sweden. It's a bit similar to Finland, but it's going to be interesting. But it just take a little bit of time just to get my head into how fast the roads is. But once we get the small test event, hopefully we'll be in good order.
Yeah, how many stages are you going to do this weekend in that national rally in Sweden?
Yeah, it's something like eight or nine stages. Right. So yes, it's 100 kilometers in total. So it's a national event, and it'll be a good opportunity just to get everything settled and everything in order before the big weekend.
Yeah. And what do you want out of the big weekend? The following weekend, obviously, is the opening round of the ERC for the juniors. What do you want? What do you want out of the following weekend?
Yeah, look, the main aim of the game would be to start off nice and steady and build our pace as we go throughout the weekend. And yeah, just learn every stage, try to adapt to the surface. The car, we're also using a new team as well this year, so it'll take a bit of time just to get used to everything. But I think once we start steady and build our pace quite steadily throughout the weekend, and yeah, hopefully we can get a good solid result. The pace is going to be much, much more higher. So yeah, we'll just have to gauge it, see how we start, see where we're at, and we're just going to keep on pushing every stage and improving every stage to get as close as we can to the top. So that'll be the main aim of the game, just to get a good solid finish for the first round and get some points on the board to start the year off.
Yeah, and obviously Italy's to come at the start of July, the Rally di Roma Capitale, I think it's called. If my Italian is anywhere half right at all, Kat. But listen, before that, there's obviously Donegal to come as well. So you're going to have a good tilt at Donegal, a ticket again, with the hope then of going to Italy in good shape.
At the moment, Donegal is just provisional for us. We're just kind of working hard behind the scenes, just trying to get a support program together for Donegal. So yeah, our provisional plan would be to do Donegal with Hankook tyres, because with the ERC we have to use Hankook tyres this year, and Donegal would be a very, very, very good event to do, because you have 3 days of learning a new tyre. So Donegal throws all sorts of weather at us every year, sun and rain and everything, so it'd be a massive opportunity to go to Donegal. So we're just trying to get that pushed across the line at the moment, and hopefully we can get that done, and then that'll leave us in good order for the Italy round, because the remaining rounds is all tarmac apart from the last one. So you know, it's the championship 6 rounds in total, and 4 of them's on tarmac, so we need to be sharp on the tarmac.
Yeah, and Rally Cardigan is one of those. You performed well at Cardigan over the last couple of years in the BRC.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to have that event on the calendar this year. Last year, the ERC hadn't got that event part of the junior, so it's good we have that little bit of knowledge. We did that event 3 years in a row there, so it's really, really good to have that knowledge from previous years and what we've learnt in the previous years to take that with us and take it into the Cardigan round. That'll be really good. So looking forward to that one too. It's not as far from home, that one.
Yeah. You're only what, 22 years of age, isn't that right, Kyle? You're not that.
Yeah.
You're still only a very, very young man, but you began this career when you were 12 years of age. And I suppose when you reflect on it, the way that you have developed and how your career has developed has been very, very impressive. So it has, Kyle.
Yeah, look, it's been a long procedure, and I suppose can't thank my family and my dad enough for getting me started when we were 12 and worked our way up through the Rally Sport Association. Then we went into the J1000s, and yeah, it's just been, I suppose we just worked our way up through the ladder, at every level. And, every year it's been going a level higher every year with being in a championship and a higher car and bits and pieces like that. So yeah, it's a steady progression throughout, which is good. So yeah, I just don't want to move on too quick till I can get the maximum out of the car that I'm currently driving and then go to the next level. So no, look, it's been a big journey till now. And suppose I always wished and dreamed about doing this championship, so it's finally coming together, which is unreal. So yeah, I just can't thank all the people that's behind me. They know who they are, you know.
Yeah, and obviously Motorsport Ireland, the Rally Academy, you've been part of that since 2022. So you're now going into your fifth year, is it, with the academy, which has been hugely important for your development as well, Kyle, and they're backing and helping you now get to this stage of level of rallying.
And suppose it's so good to have them available, because any questions we have, you know, they had drivers in my position maybe 2 or 3 years ago that has been starting in the junior ERC and has worked their way through it. So they've been there already, and it's good to have people like that around us that we can ask questions. And yeah, they've been really supportive, just trying to get bits and pieces sorted. You know, there's a lot more organizing on a campaign like this than there is on your usual Irish event, I suppose, but it's part of the whole challenge. But no, I can't thank them enough, and what they're doing is unreal. You know, you see likes of two Irish drivers at the top of the sport right now, so our sport's in a good place, to be fair. Yeah. Thanks to them,
and that's set a new target, a new bar now for young Irish drivers like yourself, Kyle. You want to be John Armstrong or Josh McAleen. You want to try and get into that very, very limited environment where it's very, very difficult to get into and then compete in.
Yes, you can see clear as day the pathway is there, and I think if you can prove to everyone that if you're good enough, you can get there. And that's thanks to John Coyne and Sean McHugh, the whole academy, and the whole team behind it. You know, there's a lot of people behind the team that doesn't get enough recognition. But no, look, it's going to be good. And look, I suppose our main focus this year is to put full effort and full focus into the junior ERC and try our best to get good, strong results each round. And that'll be our main focus.
All right then, Kyle, many thanks for taking the call. Listen, I know you're heading away now in the next couple of days to Sweden, so all we can do is wish you and Liam the very best of luck in your big adventure, and obviously in the opening round of the ERC the following weekend. Thanks for talking to us, Kyle.
Cheers. Thanks for having me, Oisín.
So a busy couple of weeks ahead for Kyle McBride in Scandinavia. Just one notice on the sports board before we wrap up this evening. Big time boxing is taking place at Deal College at the Sports Pavilion this coming Saturday, the 16th of May. The event has been hosted by Rafo Boxing Club. The first of the contest is set to get underway there at 7:30 sharp, and everyone is welcome. That's it from the Score programme. Don't forget, as usual, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap at highlandradio.com. What's left of your Thursday, enjoy your evening, and our next sports tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.